D&D Pre-Painted Miniatures 2026, your guide to ready to play with kids figures. Hi, this is Yumi. Let us make your next game night a very good one. There's nothing quite like the moment your players see their characters represented on the table. Pre-Painted Miniatures bring that magic without requiring you to learn to paint. They arrive ready to tell stories, lead armies, and get into trouble. Whether you're running your first game or your 50th, WizKids D&D Icons of the Realms line has made it easier than ever to put figures on the mat and focus on what matters. The adventure. This guide will walk you through the options available right now in 2026, so you can pick exactly what your table needs. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What should I buy first for D&D minis? 6 fully pre-painted player characters, no assembly, no brush, no apologies. You open a box, read the character cards, and your table has heroes on the mat in the time it takes to roll initiative. Here's the part nobody tells you up front though, and I think it's the most useful thing in this whole guide. WizKids split the 2024 player's handbook roster across 2 starter sets on purpose. Spells and Steel and Swords and Staves together cover all 12 core classes and 10 playable species from the new PHB. So the real question isn't which one. It's do my player's actual characters live in one box or do I need both? Match the box to your party sheet before you buy. If your group has a paladin and a fighter, you genuinely need both sets. And that's not WizKids upselling you, that's just where the sculpts landed. One honest scheduling note for 2026. As of this writing, these PHB sets are pre-order hitting retail in July 2026. If you need minis on the table this weekend, the original Icons of the Realm starter set is the proven in-stock fallback, same idea, classic lineup ready to ship. Don't let a pre-order date stall your first session. Which characters come in each starter set? This is the decision most people get wrong by skimming, so let me lay both rosters out flat. Spells and Steel gives you a Goliath Barbarian, Tiefling Bard, Human Druid, Dwarf Cleric, Halfling Rogue and Elf Sorcerer. A tidy, classic adventuring party that covers melee, support, and arcane in one box. Swords and Staves hands you a Dwarf Fighter, Orc Paladin, Elf Ranger, Dragonborn Monk, Gnome Warlock, and Awesomer Wizard, leaning into the species the hobby has historically underserved. If your table has ever had a player sigh because there's never a good Awesomer mini, this is the box. That visual continuity is quietly a big deal. It's the difference between a placeholder and their character. My insider move, let each player physically pick their mini at session 0 and keep it. People take care of a figure that's theirs. I've watched a brand new player who didn't think they cared about the toy stuff guard their little Tiefling Bard like a relic by session 3. That's the energy you're buying for $30. How do booster bricks actually work? Once your heroes are sorted, you want monsters, and that's where boosters come in. So one brick is roughly 40 figures. Weighted so you always get a steady supply of big boss creatures alongside the rank and file. Heads up if you shop the back catalog. Some older Icons sets shipped as 8-pack bricks of 32 figures, so check the pack count before you assume. The genuinely useful insider knowledge is the rarity ladder underneath the randomization. WizKids sorts each set into commons, uncommons, and rares, and the rares are seeded thin, typically one of each rare per case, not per brick. A brick gives you broad and mostly no duplicate coverage of a set. A full case, 4 bricks, is the realistic path to a near-complete collection. If I want literally everything in this set is your goal, budget for a case, not 4 random bricks. And then there's the secret layer. Invisibles are translucent clear plastic chase versions of existing sculpts, classified as ultra-rares, appearing at roughly 1 per brick. They're not just collector candy. A clear figure is a fantastic in-fiction prop for an actually invisible stalker or a ghostly apparition. Pull one and your players will absolutely notice. Which monster set should a DM buy in 2026? 2 strong bricks anchor the 2026 lineup, and they serve genuinely different tables. Monster Menagerie Revisited, released January 2026, is the workhorse. It recuts fan-favorite creatures in current Icons plastic, Bullywugs, Griffins, Quasets, and adds first-time sculpts like the Gorgon and Yeth Hound. If you only ever buy one monster brick in your life, buy this one. Adventures in Faerûn, launching August 2026, is the themed pick. It leans into Forgotten Realms' identity with Purple Dragon Knights, Drow Warriors, Cultists of Miakal, and the Beast of Mailer, heavier on humanoid NPCs and faction enemies than on raw beasts. If you're running a published Realms campaign, the named faction figures do narrative work no generic monster can. The honest planning note. A brand new release means fresh stock, but also pre-order timing risk if a wave sells through. My rule of thumb: buy the in-stock menagerie now for bread, and pre-order Faerun only if your specific campaign needs those Realms factions. Don't buy a themed brick for a theme you're not actually playing. That's how shelves of unused minis happen. Can I buy single minis instead of a whole brick? Yes, and for a lot of DMs, this is the smartest money in the hobby, so I want to give it its own answer. A robust singles market exists. D&D Mini. Calm Whiz Kids on storefront. Miniature Market, Troll and Toad, Noble Knight, and eBay sold listings all break bricks and sell figures individually. You'll pay a premium per figure versus the brick math, but you only buy exactly what hits your table. No shelf of duplicate kobolds you'll never deploy. The strategy I actually recommend to most new DMs. Buy one brick for surprise and bread. You'll discover creatures you didn't know you wanted. Then top up with singles for the named bosses your campaign genuinely calls for. Singles are also how you grab a Chase Invisible or a sold out sculpt without re-rolling a whole sealed brick. Watch sold prices, not asking prices, on eBay to learn what a figure is really worth. Rares and popular dragons hold value, common goblins are nearly free. This is also the antidote to brick FOMO, you are never behind. The catalog is buyable a la carte forever. Are premium box dragons worth it? Sometimes a fight needs to make the table go silent, and that's what the premium box dragons are for. These are huge centerpieces sold one to a box, and they are wants, not needs, but they are very good wants. All of these ship pre-painted and fully assembled, table-ready out of the box, but they're not interchangeable, and one of them has a trick worth knowing about. That is a real oh-wow moment for an undead or radiant-themed reveal. Just remember, the glow needs charging first. So set it under a lamp before the session rather than expecting it to light up cold. My take after years of running boss fights. You do not need one of these to have a great dragon encounter. A large brick dragon does the job. But for a milestone moment, the first time the party sees the campaign villain, the final session reveal, the centerpiece earns every dollar. The trick is restraint. One signature dragon that means something beats three that are just big. Buy the dragon that is your campaign and keep it in the box until the moment you reveal it. Should I get unpainted Nalzer's minis instead? Only if you actually want to paint. And if you do, Nalzer's marvelous miniatures are a delight. Here's the technical insight that makes them worth the brush time. Nalzers come pre-primed with Acrylico's Vallejo primer and are cast in a harder gray plastic that's noticeably less bendy than the soft pre-painted icons material. That matters because crisp, sharp recesses hold a wash beautifully. The sculpts have deep, deliberate cuts designed for hand painting, so even a beginner doing nothing but a base coat and a wash gets a figure that looks intentional. You are not fighting the material the way you do with floppy soft plastic. The color-coded packaging is a small quality of life win people overlook. Teal boxes are player characters. Red boxes are monsters, so you can scan a store wall fast. My honest framing of the trade-off: pre-painted is for getting to the game. Nalzer's is for when the painting is the game. A lot of DMs run pre-painted on the table and keep one Nalzer's pack on the desk as a relaxing project. There's no wrong answer. But be honest with yourself about whether you'll actually sit down and paint, or whether you just like the idea of painting. How much should you really spend, and how do you keep them nice? Let me give you the honest budget map. There are a few care secrets that save figures and money. Plenty of tables run happily for a year plus on just one starter set and one brick. You are not locked into buying the whole catalog, and you are never behind. Start small, add what you enjoy. Care tricks the hobby learns the hard way. Soft pre-painted plastic sometimes arrives with a bent weapon or warped wing from shipping heat. Don't panic and don't bend it cold, dip the bent part in hot, not boiling water for a few seconds, gently straighten, then dunk in cold water to set the new shape. A clean break repairs with a dot of super glue, and if a figure shows up genuinely damaged, WizKids product support will replace it. That's a real channel people forget exists. So keep your packaging until you've inspected everything. One storage note: Paint chips most when figures bind together loose in a bag. Spend on the minis you use, treat them gently, and let the collection grow with your story. Final verdict. Pre-painted miniatures took away the painting gatekeeping and made it genuinely easy to put beautiful figures on your table. If you're just starting out with minis or even just starting D&D, grab a Player's Handbook starter set and see how it feels. If you fall in love with a hobby, and many do, a booster brick is waiting to give you months of creature variety. The wonderful thing about this hobby is that you build it at your own pace, spend what feels right, and never feel behind. Save the premium dragons for when you *want* them, not because you feel like you have to. Your table will thank you for showing up with prepared, beautiful minis either way. Frequently asked questions. Do I really need miniatures to play D&D? No, plenty of tables play beautifully without any figures at all. Miniatures just add a visual and tactical layer that many groups love. If you're not sure, try a session without minis first. You can always add them later if your table gravitates toward visual combat. What's the difference between pre-painted and unpainted minis? Pre-painted figures, icons of the realms, are fully painted and ready to use immediately. Just open the box. Unpainted figures, Nalzer's marvelous miniatures, are pre-primed plastic that you paint yourself. Pre-painted is faster. Unpainted lets you customize colors and appearance. Both are high-quality sculpts. Can I mix and match miniatures from different lines? Absolutely. All of WizKids' D&D miniatures are in the same 28-32 heroic scale, so Icons of the Realms, Nalzer's marvelous miniatures, and even older Icons boosters work together on the same battle map without looking weird. Mix and match freely. Should I buy the starter set or go straight for a booster brick? Start with a starter set. You'll likely want a booster brick later for monsters, but the starter set is a perfect low-risk entry. If you're experienced with minis, you could grab both and jump into deeper play faster. Are there single monster minis I can buy instead of a whole booster brick? Yes, D&D Mini. Calm and most game retailers sell individual figures from booster packs. You'll pay more per figure, but you only buy what you need. This works great if you want one specific dragon or creature without committing to a full brick. How durable are these plastic figures? WizKids' plastics are tough and designed for regular tabletop use. They're not fragile. The main risk is breaking something during a drop on hard floors, but normal gameplay wear is minimal. Paint can chip if figures bang together a lot, but it takes real abuse to damage them.